Buenos dias from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach Spain update from the 5th of February, 2026. Quick summary of what's going down in Spain. First up this week on Monday, the 2nd, President Pedro Sanchez defended plans to regularize around 500,000 undocumented migrants and asylum seekers, framing the move as a choice rooted in dignity, community, and justice. Since the ruling went public last week, social media news outlets and opposition parties have been sharing criticism, with Sanchez firmly rejecting allegations that the policy goes too far. The ruling itself stems from a citizens' initiative backed by more than 700,000 signatures, a Catholic church, and hundreds of social organizations. Political analysts say Sanchez is shifting even further left politically to counter domestic pressures and distinguish Spain from tougher anti-migration stances elsewhere in Europe and the U.S. Supporters say he is just recognizing reality. Speaking of Sanchez, on Tuesday, the 3rd, President Pedro Sanchez announced at the World Government Summit in Dubai that Spain will ban social media platforms for children under 16 and require companies to introduce strict age verification systems. Sanchez argued that social media has become a failed state where laws go unenforced, harmful behavior thrives, pledging to protect children from what he called the digital Wild West. Spanish government has also introduced a bill next week to hold social media executives legally accountable for algorithmically supporting illegal and hateful content shared on their platforms. The move follows Australia's world's first ban on social media for under 16, which was introduced in December 2025 and led to the removal of millions of underage accounts. In the east of Spain, on Tuesday the 3rd, the opposition parties of the Valencian government reported that homelessness in Valencia had increased significantly since 2023, accusing the current Partido Popular, PP, Vox city government of failing to update the official homeless census. Last count in 2023 recorded just over 800 homeless people, but the opposition coalition Compromís estimated that the figure has risen to just over 3,400 since María José Catalá became mayor. Coalition bases its claims on 2025 data from the city council showing thousands of applications for special municipal registration from people living on the streets or without a fixed address. The Valencia city government denied Compromís's allegations with the tepid reason, saying the rise in numbers statistically is due to bureaucratic delays and other factors. Monday, the 2nd, British pop collective Chumbawamba called on Spain's far-right Vox Party to stop using their 1997 hit Tub Thumping after the party featured the song in a post on social media attacking migration. Santiago Abascal, Vox's leader, shared images from a campaign visit to Caspe in eastern Spain ahead of Aragon's regional election, saying locals fed up with what he called a migratory invasion, set the post to the song's defiant chorus. Chumbawamba said Abascal had fundamentally misunderstood the track, which they wrote as an anthem for underdogs resisting power. The band described Vox's agenda as small-minded and hate-fueled, adding that their song stood for hope and community and asked Facebook to remove the video. Up next, on Tuesday the 3rd, Spain's competition watchdog CNMC announced it had fined national oil giant Repsol 20 million euros for anti-competitive margin squeeze practices that says harmed independent petrol stations. CNMC ruled that Repsol raised wholesale fuel prices for independent operators while offering additional discounts to customers at its own stations, squeezing rivals' margins. The company said it will appeal, insisting the regulator failed to consider the exceptional circumstances of 2022 when fuel pricing increased following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Repsol maintains that its pricing strategy complied with regulations, was overseen by government authorities, and did not exclude competitors or distort the market. The CNMC countered that Repsol exploited its dominant position to regain the market share it had lost since 2019. In health news, on Monday the 2nd, a Barcelona hospital made history as the first hospital to perform a pioneering face transplant using tissue donated by a woman who had requested assisted dying. The Vall d'Hebron Hospital said the complex operation involved transplanting composite tissue from the face and required around 100 specialists, including psychiatrists and immunologists. The donor chose to offer her face before undergoing assisted dying, a decision the hospital's transplant coordinator, Elizabeth Navas, described as an extraordinary act of generosity. The recipient, identified only as Carme, had suffered severe facial tissue necrosis following a bacterial infection caused by an insect bite, which left her unable to speak, eat, or see properly. She said her recovery was going well and that she was beginning to recognize herself again. Another week, another storm causing chaos. On Tuesday the 3rd, the state meteorological agency announced that the Iberian Peninsula was preparing for another major storm as Storm Leonardo approaches southwest Europe, raising fears of renewed flooding and damages after last week's deadly storm, Kristen. Portugal's weather agency, IPMA, reported that Leonardo started to affect mainland Portugal on Tuesday afternoon and that Spain would feel the impact on Wednesday. Forecasters expect persistent heavy rain and coastal wind gusts across the peninsula throughout the week. Last week, Storm Kristen killed at least 6 people in unleashed winds exceeding 200 kilometers per hour, 127 miles an hour. Storm Leonardo isn't expected to be as bad, but meteorologists think it still poses serious risk, particularly in already damaged regions. The government has issued severe flood alerts, with some southern areas expecting significant rainfall just over 24 hours. Shifting gears, on Tuesday, the 3rd, tennis player Carlos Alcaraz returned home after sealing his place in tennis history with a maiden Australian Open title and competing the career Grand Slam at just 22 years old. The world number one lifted his 7th major trophy in Melbourne, becoming the youngest player ever to win all 4 Grand Slam titles. Alcaraz defeated 7 opponents at Melbourne Park, including a match against 10-time champion Novak Djokovic. After returning home, Alcaraz said he would rest and celebrate with his family and friends, withdrawing from the ATP 500 event in Rotterdam. Plans to resume competition in Doha, Qatar later this month after a short break following his historic triumph. Down south now to Andalusia. On Monday the 2nd, the seaside town of Almuñécar announced it would unveil the first elements of its new underwater sculpture park by spring 2026 as part of a major step to protecting Granada's tropical coast. Parque Azul de Vida Submarina will feature submerged sculptures inspired by the town's long history, including Phoenician, Roman, and Islamic influences. According to local councillor Francisco Rodriguez, first figures are already being manufactured and will soon be installed on the seabed. The nearly 900,000 euro project aims to recreate emblematic local elements such as arches, mosaics, and historical remains in an underwater setting that also encourages marine biodiversity. Still in Andalusia this week, 3 historic lighthouses along Granada's tropical coast are undergoing essential restoration work to preserve both their operational role and cultural value. Restoration includes dismantling and repairing the lighthouse's metal structure, replacing more than 80 specially shaped glass panels crafted by specialist workshops, and addressing corrosion and water damage in surrounding areas. Project aims to safeguard landmarks dating back to the 18th and 19th centuries, which continue to light Granada's coastline and are symbols of its maritime heritage. Closing this episode with a cultural note and historical note, Spain's long-standing preference for dubbed movies has its root Franco dictatorship, according to an opinion piece by Anita Katsarska for Sur, who examines how politics shaped the country's viewing habits. During Franco's rule, dubbing foreign films into Spanish was used as a tool of control, limiting exposure to other languages and cultures while promoting a single state-approved worldview. Even though the dictatorship ended decades ago, dubbing remains the dominant format in Spanish cinemas. Katsarska, who grew up watching subtitled films, argues the original versions help audiences engage more deeply with performances and support language learning. However, she also acknowledges dubbing as a respected art form that improves accessibility for audiences of different ages, literacy levels, and abilities. The article raises the question of whether dubbing still isolates viewers from the outside world or has been reclaimed as a democratic choice. Check it out. It's a good article in the show notes. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Got some important news. We've decided to bring some Rorschach updates to an end. As much as we love doing them, we couldn't get listeners to connect and form small communities as we'd hope. Besides, these updates are not cheap to make. This one, the Rorschach Spain update, will stay. Fear not, we'll be here now and in the future. Hasta la próxima.